hardwood middle of that tree, and dust and dried. I mean, I'm a little too redneck because some of the words he says, I mean, wow. I mean, like, I think that, this Radio Labyrinth. This is season 8, episode 18. And gosh, I want to say thank you. We have some updates on our Patreon page. We have a new $10 Patreon member by the name of Dave Benson. So, Dave, thank you for joining. Dave Benson.
Oh, okay.
Not Doug Benson. He could afford more than $10.
He's not going to give it to us.
Yeah, Doug Benson isn't going to give us money. Returning producers, Brian and Chelsea Smith, welcome back.
Welcome back. Hey. The cutest couple in the world. whose wedding none of us went to because we're all pieces of shit.
But I'm going to draw them. I have to do a doodle for them. And one of the, in the doodle idea from Brian is something, of course, to do with Deadpool. And Chelsea is a DJ now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I got to come up with something for that. And we got a bump from producer Tim Slayton. So he went up and doubled. And I believe now that I'm going to owe him a drawing. And I love to do that for him. So you guys reach out to me through Facebook or something. It's a lot easier than doing it on the Patreon page. I'm still waiting to hear back from Jim Fortner. I want to take care of you, so I want to get you the T-shirt and the drawing. Kevin, I'm about halfway done with yours. Kevin Jackson, he joined last week. And I still have to mail Robies, but I'm going to do that Friday. Eric Malmstrom returns.
Eric.
Yeah, so thank you for coming back. So if you guys are interested in becoming Patreon members, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/... Tim Andrews. When I created it, I don't know why I had it up there. I don't think we yet had a name for the show, so that's why it's Tim Andrews. But there's multiple levels there, and if you join up as a producer at the $25 level, you can get a t-shirt from our t-shirt store, and I'll send you the link, and then you just tell me what size you want, and I order it and send it to you. Also, you get a either a printout of one of my doodles, and Dustin's put them up here before. Or I'll do a custom one for you, and they're all done on my iPad. So there's no ink, and you touch the ink and, get all diseased or whatever. Our producers are Brian and Chelsea Smith, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Chris Chandler, Roby Neely, Tim Slayton, Kevin Jackson, Mike D, and Matt Carter. So thank you guys very much. We appreciate it. In case you don't know, we do a recap show on our Patreon page, which I didn't mention, and we are doing Barry now. We sort of fell off of Yellow Jackets because, Barry is Barry.
Yellow Jacket fell off too. They didn't even show an episode this week.
Oh, I know. What's up with that?
I don't know why they didn't do that. I was pissed. I was going to watch it last night.
Right.
But it is a good show. What else we got to talk about? Oh, my other podcast, the Popcast, is a radio show on WSB Radio, 7 p.m. Saturday nights. You can listen to it on the WSB Radio app if you're not in town, or if you are in town and you don't have a radio. Last week, my guest was actor T.J. Hassan, who's been in a lot of things. He talks about working with and being in a scene with Mandy Patinkin. And I think it was the end of season 2, right before the CIA building blew up. He did a scene with Mandy Patinkin in Homeland. And he also did a movie that I didn't know about, or maybe that Josh had told us about and I forgot, but it was a movie they did with Josh. And I think it was a pilot with Gilbert Godfrey. And so he talked about being on set with him. So TJ Hassan, he's a cool guy. He's a musician, actor, does a lot of improv. And he's just in the struggle, and he was a good guest. So check that out. It's available as a podcast. And this week, my guests are comedian Greg Warren. Do you guys know who he is?
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
he's funny.
Stuff. Yeah, he's funny.
He's very, very funny. And he has a new special on YouTube, Nick Bargatze. How do you say it? Nick
Bargatze.
Bargatze.
Yeah. He has his own little YouTube empire, and they put the comedy special out on there. It's called The Salesman, and he does this. I mean, I never thought I would laugh so much at a comedian talking about peanut butter. And in our interview, I don't want to spoil the joke, so I'm talking about some of his stuff, and he was appreciative of that I watched the special and didn't just go, "Hey, so you're a comedian, do jokes." But the funny thing about it is I met him on the regular guy's show. For some reason, I was filling in. Larry wasn't there. So when Larry wasn't there, I took over hosting duties. And this goes way back, at least 12 years ago, if not more. And he and Rich Voss were double booked. So Rich Voss, I knew was coming in. I didn't know that Greg was coming in. They show up at the same time, and I'm freaking out because that was my tendency. I still have those tendencies. But back then, I'm freaking out, and I'm yelling at the driver from one of the whichever comedy club brought him. And it ended up just, you know what, why don't you both stay? And they were both cool with that, and we stayed. And I said, yeah. And he goes, hey, oh, yeah, you were that guy that did all the funny impressions. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I can work with this guy. But no, he's a great interview. And I wish it could have been longer. But it was, you know, through a service that I work with. But, you know, we got two segments out of it. And he's a real cool guy. So the day this comes out, it's on. And if not, of course, you can always get to the podcast the following week. And also Greg Russell will be joining me. We'll be talking about stuff. So anyway, let's get our show started, shall we?
Yeah. You mentioned Josh. I just saw that Dynamic El Dorado, the club that he reps, they just got the 1 a.m. show away from Smith's Old Bar.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, Rory Scovel was on it this last week.
Wait a minute. So Rory Scovel just showed up at the
place? Yeah, well, it's the 1 a.m. show. You know, anybody can come through. I mean, they used to have it at Relapse. And Smith's Old Bar, they've been hosting it for a while now. But then I saw that it's moving over to Dynamic El Dorado. I don't know if it's permanent, but that's a pretty big deal for Josh and them.
We have to get the guy on from Dynamic El Dorado. I interviewed them on the podcast. Let's get them on here because they're cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, betcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, Dynamic El Dorado has shows Thursday through Sunday. On Sunday, it's Stuck in Here with Josh and Ian at 7 p.m. And that is the first Sunday of every month at Dynamic El Dorado. And we'll find the website and put it up here so you can click the link.
But what are you watching?
What are you watching there?
What are you watching?
Okay, so what are we watching?
What are we watching?
What are you watching?
Just before we get going, we can talk about a couple things we watched, maybe. I don't know. I watched White House Plumbers and it sucked.
Terrible. Oh, I thought it was good.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you guys like that kind of, like, the Veep shit. And that's, I don't know. To me, I was expecting something, a little more in tune with what actually went on. I just thought it was, you know, goofy.
It's worse.
What was great about it?
Yeah, I didn't like any of that.
You wanted some historical Watergate drama.
Yes,
that's what I want.
With Justin Theroux and Woody Harrelson.
Well, they could do it.
Nah, they were great.
I was very funny.
Your acting
bumbling fucking idiots.
The whole cast. I thought everybody was great.
They were. And that's what bothers me. Those guys weren't.
If they were shooting for a drama, okay, but to make it funny. It's funnier that they're stupid.
So that's my fault. I didn't know it was supposed to be a comedy. And I'm watching it. What the fuck is going on?
No, really? You thought it was going to be a dramatic?
Yeah. I had no clue.
That makes sense.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then obviously you wouldn't have liked it. You went into it with like the entirely wrong vibe.
Yeah. I thought I was going to get All the President's Men, like the prequel. And I was just disappointed. But maybe I'll watch the second one and I'll like it. Who knows?
I hope that you do, because I really love Lena Headey. She was so great as his wife.
Really good. I thought it was funny. I will say that it was funny when E. Howard Hunt, who is Woody Harrelson's character, and Lena Headey went over to G. Gordon Liddy's house.
Yeah.
And G. Gordon Liddy put up
Hitler
record speeches. But those guys, they are doing, I mean, the acting is really good. And I love Woody's interpretation of E. Howard Hunt. And Woody is the type of guy who would know a lot about E. Howard Hunt, who on his deathbed confessed that he was part of the assassination of JFK. He was arrested. He was one of the hobos arrested after the assassination of JFK. You know, he's a CIA guy. We'll never know the truth, so it doesn't matter. Maybe if RFK Jr. wins the presidency, we'll know who killed his uncle in the CIA and whether or not Ted Cruz's dad was involved. And George H.W. Bush, may he rest in peace. All right, so anyway, moving on. Yeah, that's pretty much, I watched a bunch of shit. I kept watching the Mars show. I like that. Yeah, the Mars show, Fired on Mars.
Oh yeah, I love that show. I'm so into it.
It's such a chill show with really interesting animation and good writing. And, you know, it's not madcap hilarity, but it's good.
Yeah, when he said, I'm going to make a man. And then all of a sudden he did what we all do. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, for like 5 minutes, he did all that stuff. He was losing weight and doing all that crap. And then he's just like, fuck it. That's even worse than before. I loved it.
And they hired a new graphic designer to come to Mars.
Yeah.
Finally, we get some good graphic design on Mars.
All right.
Yeah, I love that show. In the Royal Crackers, there was a lot of glory holes. It was, lifestyle.
I know that, so.
Yeah, so I forget. It was called the 0.1 of the 1% was the name of the show. It was like the new lifestyles of the rich and famous. And the guy, he had a glory hole in his house, but then he also had a yacht with a glory hole.
The George Beavis and Butthead yet?
I'm behind. I watched a couple of them. Yeah, I think I'm one episode behind. It was very funny. What was the one where they go to vote? That's 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
What was
this week? The videos are really funny.
What was the plot of this one? Is that where the Beavis is about to get laid?
We're playing pranks on people.
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. I'll probably watch that tonight. I did watch Fatal Attraction, the first episode.
What did you think?
I thought, what's the point of this?
Yeah. That's what I thought when I saw the title card.
Yeah, I thought that too, but I wanted to watch it just to see. And I don't know. The last thing I saw that actor in, what's his name? Josh something?
Joshua Jackson. Oh, that doctor. That doctor short series. Yeah.
That horrible show that he was in with...
Dr. Death.
Yeah, Dr. Death. It was at least show the podcast was better.
I loved him. I loved him when he was on The Affair.
I didn't see The Affair.
Oh, you should watch that, Tim. I really think you dig it. It was really good.
And that McNulty.
Yeah, McNulty. Yeah.
It's one of those shows where everybody's very complicated.
He was good in Fringe, too.
Oh, Fringe. Yeah, that's right. He was the guy.
Son.
Yeah. Fringe I liked the first season of. But yeah, Fatal Attraction... I don't know. First of all, Dan didn't have to pay for his crimes in the movie. So apparently he does in this, and then it's a telling of the story, but I don't know if I'm going to continue with it. I know Jeff is, and I know why he is. Right? Am I right?
I like Lizzie Kaplan.
Yeah, me too. I like her too. I don't know.
I sat through all that Fleischman's in Trouble just because of her.
I loved that. I can't believe you didn't like that. I loved it. It was great. Well, I mean, whatever. I have horrible taste. I just finished all 6 seasons of Gossip Girl, so.
What's his name?
That's right. And then I found out at the very end, he was Gossip Girl the whole time. It blew my mind.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's fun to watch. So think about all these beautiful people with all their money living on the Upper East Side.
And they never eat any of that food.
No, they don't eat the food. That's for sure.
Why do they make all that fucking food and then they never eat it?
I don't know. But then I thought, well, now I'll watch the Redux.
The new Gossip Girl.
And I got 4 seconds into it and was like, this is 2022 Gossip Girl. Yeah. And I don't want this.
My homework is to watch Gossip Girl. No, my homework is to watch White House Plumbers episode 2, and I will, and maybe I won't be such a bitch about it, because I really didn't know it was supposed to be.
I feel like if you give it another chance, you're going to like it.
I didn't dislike those guys. I just thought this is madcap goofiness from like nefarious people.
And you've got like every comedic actor in there. I mean, Gary Cole.
Yeah.
I mean, you name
Gary
it.
Gary Cole. That's one thing that bothered me. Mark Felt, well, the FBI isn't going to do that. Of course, you didn't know 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 52 years ago, 51 years ago, to be exact, almost, that Mark Felt was Deep Throat and Gary Cole is, you know, Deep Throat. So
I thought that was a porn movie.
It was, but
that was. That's why they named him after.
Wow.
And of course, Hal Holt.
Now this all makes sense.
Yes, Hal Holt in the movie All the President's Men, which is, I think, probably in my top 10. But anyway, enough of that blather. I will shut up now and watch the fucking show. All right, so we decided this week, and Steph came up with this idea, and I loved it, the top five action movies of all time. And what inspired you to come up with that?
I was watching, well, we were watching John Wick the other night for the, I don't know, 10th time, I don't know. And we started debating, like, our favorites, and was this the pantheon of action and blah, blah, blah. And then that's what got me going on it.
Well, that's awesome. How many John Wick movies are there?
Four, right?
Three.
No, there's a new one.
Is there a new one?
Yeah,
there's a new one.
So there's four.
And then the show's coming out. The Continental is going to be on HBO, and it's about a bunch of different assassins that all go to that hotel.
Yeah.
Yep. And there's another one. There's the ballerinas, the character from the last movie, the girls that are trained, kind of like Black Widow. Yeah.
Mm. Sounds like... So, yeah. Have to start burning the candle at both ends and watch all those John Wick movies.
I still think the first one's the best. Second one's really good too, but I still think the first one, and you can't top it.
I've seen John Wick. I just haven't. It's been a long time. All right, so we're gonna do our top five, and before we get to ours, let's read some stuff that people posted on social media. David Harrison posted, and his fifth is Lethal Weapon. Four is Firebirds, which he says is a 90s Army version of Top Gun. I don't remember that movie. Do you guys?
Yeah. Yes. And let me tell you why. Because one of the mentally challenged people that I used to take care of at one of the group homes was obsessed with helicopters and shit like that. And he used to make us watch it all the time. And whenever they'd blow shit up with the helicopters, he would be like, oh, he would just nut up.
I can't. No. I can't believe I don't remember. You got Nicolas Cage, Tommy Lee Jones, Sean Young, I guess.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It came out in this when they really were like pumping out those 90s cheap action movies. It was just anything to recreate any type of military movie. Yeah. Top Gun, really. Yeah. With helicopters is what it is.
His number three is Air Force One. That is a good movie.
Really?
Get off my plane. Get off my plane. Number two, Thor, the first one. That's hard to disagree with. That's a good movie. Mm. Everyone after that has been terrible. No. The one where he fights the Hulk.
Ragnarok.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, that one was good.
And number one, Top Gun Maverick. So Top Gun, if that was on his list before, is gone in Top Gun Maverick. And he also says there are several other action movies from my life that could have made the list, but these are the five that I have watched the most and get stoked like I'm watching them for the first time. I can empathize with that about a lot of things. Garrett Kemble, a former guest, and he makes knives and swords. Of course, he was on Words and Fire. I haven't watched it in a while. The new main guy never really grabbed me. Anyway, Garrett says he's picking mine for quotability and general love for the film. Predator.
Mm-hmm.
Commando.
Yeah.
Cobra.
Oh, of course.
Die Hard and Lethal Weapon. So all of those films in the 80s, two of them with Arnold, one of them with Stallone, Bruce Willis, and of course Danny Glover.
Chico Danny Glover. That was the best Danny Glover action movie ever. You know, Lethal Weapon.
William Triple Peace just said John Wick. Andy Carson, Lethal Weapon, the Always Sunny edition.
Oh, God, no. But is it called Lethal Weapon? I thought it's called Lethal Weapon 5.
Five.
BK on the air, buddy. The Road Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Jackson. Dang, this is hard. He says the best Christmas movie of all time, Die Hard. I have to agree. That is a Christmas movie. He says, since I'm not including any science fiction or fantasy, my Schwarzenegger movie is either Red Heat or Last Action Hero. So I'm going with Red Heat. Jeff and I saw Red Heat.
Yeah.
Jim Belushi's in that, is he not?
Yep.
I have not seen it since we saw it in the theaters. So I'm going to have to revisit it that at some point. Mission Impossible Fallout. It's the one series where the films get better with each installment. I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, I'm a Ghost Protocol person.
They're all good, though. Yeah. Every Mission Impossible Tom Cruise movie is good.
Tom Cruise is a pretty good actor, and I like what he does with stuff.
He's really good at pretending to be human.
That's true. That is true. He has an alien crammed inside of his little frame, and he keeps it at bay. John Wick is number four, and his fifth is Buddy Cop. Movies are tough. I love Lethal Weapon and 48 Hours a lot, but I'm giving to a more contemporary film, The Nice Guys.
Yeah, The Nice Guys. I've seen The Nice Guys so many times. It's one of my favorite movies. Oh my God, when Ryan Gosling falls down that hill.
Yeah.
I could just watch that over and over.
I got to watch these movies. I didn't see this.
The Nice Guys is set in the 70s. It's Russell really Crowe and Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. They have the best chemistry. I hate it. And Shane Black. This is a Shane Black movie.
Yeah, Shane Black movie.
Yeah, it's very Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Yeah. Very similar.
So hard. Making my list, and we'll get to ours in a minute, but making my list was tough because there are films that I forgot. And then, you know, Nobody. I mean,
that's yeah.
on the list, but that is such a good action movie.
It really is.
And Fuxi writes, a little known John Frankenheimer film, The Challenge, starring Scott Glenn and the incredible Toshiro Mifune. Cheese filled, yes. Fun, yes. You be the judge. So maybe we'll have to revisit that at one. Or actually visit it because I've never seen it.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
I haven't ever heard of it.
All right. So thank you guys for contributing. We got to do more of that. I don't even think about it because my brain is always fried. But we like it when you guys contribute. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you guys very much.
Hey, do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for? You need to contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. In Athens, Georgia since 2005 with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366. That's 706-316-9366. Or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com.
All right. I will go first just to knock them out if you guys don't care. My first one is Kung Fu Hustle. That's number five. Kung Fu Hustle, which is one I had Taken on there because I think Taken is a really good film.
Straight Tooken.
Yeah.
Got Tooked. I don't like the sequel. I don't like the derivative movies that he's been in. I'm glad he makes money doing the same thing over and over again. But Taken was a real good film from start to finish. But I got kicked off the list by that movie because Kung Fu Hustle is nonstop fun from beginning to end. It's a Cantonese Chinese film, overdubbed. You can watch it either way, overdubbed or with subtitles. But there's mysticism, magic, fighting, all that shit. And Kung Fu. Coming in at number four, Die Hard, which if you had asked me 15, 20 years ago, probably would have been number one or maybe a close number two. Die Hard, how can you go wrong with that? Even the second Die Hard is pretty damn good. Mostly because of John Amos and Dennis France, but also because of that guy whose name I forgot earlier, Bruce Willis.
I was going with him and Sam Jackson, too. That one's good.
I don't like that one.
That's my favorite one.
Really?
Yeah. I like it because it was out in the open. It took over the whole city as opposed to being stuck in one place. And I thought the story was actually
that hard movie.
No.
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be a Die Hard movie. It was some other script that got rejected, so they just slapped Die Hard on it. I was really uncomfortable in the theater watching him carrying that sandwich board.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I know, that was the point. I was very uncomfortable, like, My number three is two films together, but it's one volume. And if Tarantino could consider it one film, so can I. Kill Bill Volumes 1 and 2. All of Tarantino's movies to me are really good in their own way, and they all have action in them. But Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2 has it the whole time.
Yeah.
And they're good films. Very comical, very bloody.
I've seen them both a million times.
Yes, me too. I will watch them whenever they're on, if I have time. Just nowadays, when movies like that come in, my son is up, we can't watch this.
I'll sit. Just sometimes I just randomly, or Neil will say, we'll just go, katana, tana.
What's the name of that guy who played? Not only he played the Mexican man dancer.
Oh, Michael Parks.
Yeah, Parks.
Yeah, Michael Parks, and he also played the sheriff.
In multiple movies.
Yeah, we had this Bill, Kill Bill. All right, number two for me is Terminator 2: Judgment Day. Terminator is a great movie. It has that real 80s look, 80s feel, 80s music. But Terminator 2 far surpasses it as an action film with, you know, a hero you can root for that you're not supposed to root for. Terminator 2 Judgment Day. My number one is my favorite Arnold movie of all time. It's not his best, but it's my favorite. I love it. It's a lot of it has a lot of quotability. It has fun shit in it. And that is Commando. And Commando, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger plays John Matrix. Was just trying to live a life out in the woods, carrying logs on his shoulder and taking care of his daughter, Jenny Matrix, played by the very young Alyssa Milano. Ray Dawn Chong. Is she? Never mind. I want to do that. I'm not Michael Scott. She plays Cindy. She's just, you know, the tertiary love character or whatever. Vernon Wells as Bennett. Matrix were here. He'd laugh too. Bill Duke, he played Cook, you know, the big guy. He was always that big, bald, black guy in every movie.
Actually, yeah.
He's just a good-looking dude. Always looked good in a suit. David Patrick Kelly was Sully, who, was killed last.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
That's what you did!
I lied.
Dan Hedaya playing a Latin American dictator with a horrible accent. Just nonstop action, quotable. If you've never seen it, and why would you not have seen it? Go watch it right now. And a special shout out to Bill Paxton, who plays Intercept Officer.
I had a really hard time doing this because once I started really doing it there, I realized, you know, there's so many genres of action. So I was trying to compile a list of one genre of type. So I thought about action drama at first, like Drive, Ronin, Heat, those kind of movies. And I'm like, no. And then I thought about just straight action, like John Wick or Extraction or one of those. And I ultimately ended up on sci-fi action, which I think might be my favorite genre of action movies. So I love sci-fi action. So my number five is Robert Rodriguez's Planet Terror, because you get the zombies, but they are created through science, as we all know. And I love that movie. I feel like it's nonstop action from beginning to end.
It is. And the lady puts a gun on her leg.
Yeah. And it's
Michael
funny.
Michael Parks is in it as well.
Yes. Michael Parks, Jeff Fahey. I mean, it's Bruce Willis, Quentin Tarantino when his balls drip off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just Josh Brolin. And
Tim
it's just
his pants in the movie while I'm saying it.
Yeah, Tim shit his pants. And there's a lot of reasons to love this movie. So the Planet Terror is number five. Number four, Mad Max Fury Road, which is, I freaking love this movie. And I watched, for it to have only been out a few years ago, I've seen it more than I've seen old movies, because anytime it's on, I'll watch it.
I like it better than Beyond Thunderdome.
I do too.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah,
definitely. My number three
is a little kid, don't you?
Yeah,
at the end of Beyond Thunderdome.
Yeah I do. Yeah. My number three is, it's goofy, campy, it's a Verhoeven, but I love it, Starship Troopers. I love this movie. It's so funny, and you know, I find the idea of a brain or a bug with a brain offense. Just all of that stuff, and the kids, the little propaganda films of the kids stomping out the bugs, all that crap. And it didn't even matter that all the actors in it were terrible, because they were supposed to be. They were supposed to be plastic action figure-y looking people. So I love Starship Troopers, and again, nonstop action. Number two, of course, Predator. I may have seen Predator almost more than I've seen any other movie, like in my entire life, I think, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
I love Predator. It's like a warm hug. And
a warm hug from an ugly motherfucker.
From an ugly motherfucker.
It has a lot of great quotes in it, too. And you have such a good cast.
Absolutely. And when I first saw it, you know, I was a young, you know, like maybe 13, 14 or something like that. Everybody in it was huge to me. Arnold Schwarzenegger was huge. Carl Weathers was huge. Jesse Ventura, I was a big wrestling fan. It was awesome. The body was in it. So anyway, so Predator number two and my number one of all time, and I have seen this movie more than any other movie, is Aliens, the second one. That to me, from start to finish, you got all the dread because you know what happened in the first one. So you know what you're going to see. And once they get there, and just like the whole cast, you get the Paxton, you get the Michael Bean, whatever the hell his name is, and Sigourney is the ultimate female action star ever. No one can touch her. So I love Aliens. I think it's the best. It's really not so much you could say because everybody's seen it. And I wouldn't call it sci-fi horror like I would The Thing. I feel like it is more sci-fi action.
Yeah.
Do you prefer the extended edition or the theatrical edition?
The theatrical edition.
Okay, so without all the explanation at the beginning. Okay.
Right, exactly. I like them to just go right into it. And Paul Reiser is such a piece of shit. And then for it to be made in like 87 or 86, I think it came out in 86, the shit holds up.
Yep.
All of the special effects hold up. And that Geiger alien is just, man, when she's...
Is it where the line that they mostly come out at night, mostly?
Yeah, little Newt.
Yeah.
Yep. And what was cool, Michael Bean had a week's notice before he started that role because it wasn't his to begin with. It was another actor, and that actor got fired for substance abuse problems right before it started, so Bean had to take his place.
You got to nuke the site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
They would take off, nuke the site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
And that is, like, iconic, and of course, game over, man.
Game over, man. It's game over.
Game over.
I was trying to think of that. That's Bill Paxton's line, right?
Yeah.
Carrie Henn is like 60 years old. No, she's not 60. She's 46 years old.
The little girl, Newt?
Newt is not an actress anymore, so.
That has one of the best end scenes of all time when Sigourney puts that suit on.
Yeah.
Oh, bitch. Awesome. Thanks, Steph. Who's next?
Number five, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. The best of the Lord of the Rings movies.
That is the best of them.
Absolutely.
Avengers Endgame, number four.
Tons of action. Yep. That's the best Avengers.
Yeah, best Avengers movie. The Matrix, number three.
Yes. First one. Yes.
Yeah, the original Matrix.
I tried to do a review of those a couple years ago, maybe last year. And the first one still holds up as a great film, and they just get progressively worse.
Yeah.
And T2 Judgment Day, nice.
Yeah, that was on your list. And then Empire Strikes Back was my number one.
That's a good choice.
That is a very good choice.
Yeah.
That is a lot of tons of action. That's just a great movie. That's the best movie ever out of all of them, I think, still to this day.
Yep.
Agreed.
Series of down endings. Luke gets his hand cut off, finds out Vader's his father, and gets taken away by Boba Fett. That's what life is, a series of down endings.
So true.
Number five. I did the same thing you did, Steph. I couldn't figure out genre-wise which way we were going because there's just so many. So I kind of picked and choose. Number five, I did Hot Fuzz, because it's kind of a parody of action movies, but it's such a perfect movie in its own right that it deserved to be on the list. Plus, I'm an Edgar Wright nerd.
Right.
There's a lot of action in that movie.
Yeah, a lot of action. And it was one of the first movies where they flipped it and made all the boring stuff from most movies into the action stuff. So they had those cut scenes for paperwork. And
then the Point Break. When he lays down, shoots that gun in the air, that's the homage to Point Break.
And and they even had the sprinkler going, just like in Point Break. Yeah. And let's see. So number four, mine was also Predator. Same story. You know, I was, 12, 13 when I first saw it, and went with a group of youth group from church to go see the movie. And so, that was just like, it became the rental that, when you went to go get movies for a weekend for guys coming over, for the weekend, it was always Predator plus other stuff, but it was always Predator at least. Number three is Black Hawk Down. To me, it's probably one of the best military movies. But I guess because it's kind of more my generation as opposed to a lot of other war movies that you watch that were either your uncles or your father's or your grandfather's generation. So every time I play it, I can't not turn on the Xbox afterwards and play like first person shooters for at least half an hour.
It's intense.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. And to know it's a true story, or at least based off of a true event, adds to it as well. Number two, Mad Max Fury Road. And my number one is Raiders of the Lost Ark. It was the first action movie that I saw on VHS, and I've watched it so many times and seen it so many times. I could probably write it out. If I had to sit down and write it longhand, I could probably write the script out. But yeah, by far my favorite action movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Wait,
good list.
If you have anything you want to add, make sure you just post it on one of our social media pages, tweet it to us, Facebook, anything like that.
Yeah, if you had a suggestion of like another compilation list that you'd like us to do, best of.
Please do. Especially if you're
best porn movies of all time.
Yeah, I could name about that.
I don't know the names of any of them.
I just, well, nowadays they don't make any with names.
Yeah, I mean like. The Devil and Mrs. Jones. I know that one.
I fucked my stepsister.
It's just called Take It.
Yeah, Take It. Swallow in horror. Not since Piss Mops went away. That's when all the stories left.
Piss Mops?
Piss Mops.
Oh.
It was a lovely sight.
I bet you there is one called Piss Moms too, though.
Well, there might be, but there really was a Piss Mops. And Slap Happy. I think if you bought one, you got the other. And then my favorite of all time is, name-wise, is Captain Stab.
Captain Stab?
Stabbing. It's like, let's do the bang bus on a boat with a guy with missing a lot of teeth.
His views.
Or.
And snooze.
I didn't watch any of last week, so we'll just skip that. But this week, Bupkis starts on Peacock, the new Pete Davidson show. Have I watched that yet? It's out now.
I have not watched it yet. I'm going to give it a chance.
Yeah. Just because of the cast alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Pesci alone, just to see him do something since The Irishman. That was the last thing he did, I think.
Oh, they would have to put Joe Pesci in something that Pete Davidson is in. So now I got
it. I think he plays his dad or something. It, so.
Yeah.
And I like it that he's playing a parody of himself.
Yeah.
That he's like, kind of like Kirby
Enthusiasm-ish.
Yeah.
It's not getting great reviews yet, but I'm still probably going to watch it. It's a views for me. Number two, Silo on Apple TV. Looks really good.
Yeah. I'll give it a view.
You see anything about this?
Yeah, it looks like, remember that movie City of Ember? City of Embers? Yeah, it looks a lot like that. I think that there may be a twist like that in this that, why they're there, or I think that's what they're trying to figure out and everything.
Yeah,
I think it'll be similar, but I'll watch it.
Looks really good. And then number three is The Game Show on ABC. It starts on May 10th. This is a documentary series about the history of game shows, all going all the way back to radio.
Nice. Yeah, I might watch that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Looks pretty good.
I'm going to do this as late in life, Al Pacino. Thank you to Atlanta Pizza and Giro, a longtime sponsor of Radio Labyrinth. And thank you to Mike Hall, everyone at the restaurant. Please join Atlanta Pizza and Giro for their week. Am I saying that right? Is it Giro, Gyro, Euro, Hero? I know what a hero sandwich is. That's what people in Philly know. They call it a hoagie. I don't know. I don't know.
What'd you find out about this place? Was it in scent of a pizza?
Scent of a pizza. That's, I mean, it smelled like pizza down there. Don't tell me why. I mean, she's a gorgeous lady. But then, you know, maybe the gabagoo got in there or whatever. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Threw me off. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Tuesday night team trivia from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Now heading to spring with all 16 draft beers on tap. Available in over 40 other beers to choose from in bottles and cans. Wow, how about that? Bottles and cans. I like it in a bottle, but I also like it in a can. I mean, I don't like it in the can. I've never been in the can, but if I were in the can, I would take it in the can. You have no choice, really, when it comes to that. With a strong focus on local Georgia and Southeastern craft breweries, serving the best freshly made Greek and Italian specialties around in an authentic retro dive pizza place with some come-as-you-are family-friendly atmosphere. And I've been told that all the glory holes are shut down. Right? It's not sanitary. Dine-in and takeout available. Limited delivery is also available via Slice, DoorDash, Grubhub, Uber Eats, all them. Hey, if you're a business or a corporate client who's looking to book a food truck for your next private event or a catered luncheon, or even if, you know, you're just hungry and you want a truck to come out of your house and just feed you, contact Mike Hall at Atlanta Pizza and Giro by calling 770-483-6228. They're open from dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday, 11 to 7, Saturday, 12 to 9, closed on the Lord's Day. Well, you know, my Lord's. There are lots of different people have Lord's. And my, particularly is Sunday. Hopefully that was an okay Al Pacino. And if you hate it, well, fuck you.
Let's do our staff picks.
Mine is Bobcat Goldthwait's new album. Called it's really good. It's called Soldier for Christ.
Is it all politics?
Cause no. He's talking about all kinds of shit.
Okay, good. I love Bobcat stand up, but I just worry he doesn't put them out. I think it was his first one in what, 12 years?
Yeah, it's been a few years.
Actually, it's been a long time. Yeah,
I won't ruin any of the jokes, but basically, his opinion is the pandemic would have lasted 2 weeks if they would have put the vaccine in Mountain Dew.
Where can you get it?
It's all over the place. Apple Music or Spotify or any of those.
All right. Awesome. He's right.
Oh, mine is this movie I caught on Shudder. It came out last year. It was called Deadstream. It's such a fun movie. It's so much fun. And I'm not even going to say that the makeup is good because it's not great, but the jump scares are awesome. I mean, you're jumping so many times. He's a disgraced YouTube personality, and he's trying to
found footage things, right?
Yes. But it's done so authentically where he's talking to the YouTubers while he's doing this whole thing. He goes to this, it's supposed to be the most extreme haunted house all by himself, and he sets the cameras up everywhere, and he is hilarious. The guy is hilarious. And he's slowly doling out whatever the hell it was he did to get himself disgraced. He lost all of his followers. He lost his sponsorships, everything. And he's trying to get them back. But his interactions with the audience and the shit that people are typing and scrolling, that alone is so much fun. But yeah, definitely check out Deadstream. It's on Shudder.
Shudder.
It's on Shudder. If you have AMC Plus, then you can watch it.
Is that you have to have either of those to see it, or you could rent it? I can get no.
Yeah, you could probably.
Yeah, you could rent it. Yeah,
Prime. You can rent it on Prime.
Yeah, but if you have AMC Plus, then that means you have Shudder, so you can see it for free.
Cool. I'll have to rent it, but it looks good.
Yeah, you'll like it. It's a lot of fun.
Mine is This Past Weekend Podcast. I already mentioned it with Theo Vaughn, with Rainn Wilson. Rainn Wilson has a new book out. Because of this, I'm going to listen to his audiobook.
He was just in Atlanta doing a show.
Yeah, yeah.
Close.
What kind of show? Stand-up show?
No, talking about his book.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. He's a pretty interesting fellow, that guy.
Yeah, he makes a good point with this whole new book thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to check it out. Anyway, that's mine.
Mine is the Lewis Black's new special, just dropped on YouTube for free. It's called Tragically, I Need You.
Okay.
It's Lewis Black, just updated to current, to everything in the last year.
I Eskimo buddy.
Is he still angry?
He's always angry.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He's rich, but he's angry.
You're right.
I pranked him one time. Will you suck my cock?
Sure.
All right. Thank you, guys. Steph, what's going on with Barkville?
We'll be at Caffeine and Octane this Sunday from 9 a.m. to noon. So come on out to Caffeine and Octane in Kennesaw. Around the, I forget what the name of the place is, but you just look it up or whatever. But yeah, we'll be out there with a lot of dogs and whatnot. And to people who are friends of mine on Facebook, I apologize. I know I've been sharing some sad shit lately. And I don't know what to tell you, because these motherfuckers won't stop dumping their dogs or fighting them and mangling them and shit like that. It's so fucking bad right now. It's so bad. It's so fucking depressing and horrible. So I apologize to you guys. But, fuck it. That's the only reason why I'm on Facebook, so.
I think people probably will accept it because they know that your heart's in the right place.
Well, I'm just trying to, help other rescues, network and try and find fosters and shit like that. And me and Neil today, we went back and forth about this dog. Maybe we could just put him in we'll put him in the bedroom, blah, 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 blah. We'll just fucking deal with it and... I know, right on the cusp of just fostering just to save the dog, but I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, if you can foster, please do. You could literally save a good, young, healthy dog's life.
Yes, just don't name, if you're going to foster, don't name the dog Vince.
What?
Vince must. And Hillary Clinton will show up at your house and put it to sleep. Sorry, that's a bad 90s joke.
That's terrible.
Not even funny. It wouldn't have been funny in 1998 either. Sorry.
Monica Lewinsky.
Anyway. All right, guys, that's our show. We will be back next week. And until that time, please remember to keep it
better.